Schaefer, I'm the vice chair of the Railroad Advisory Board.
Dick Claremont, Railroad Advisory Board.
Ken Cashel for the Port of Vancouver, I'm also on the Railroad Advisory Board.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Daniel Weaver, Chair of the Railroad Advisory Board.
Aaron Erdman, City of Battle Ground.
Mike Bomar, Plum River Economic Development Council, and also on the Railroad Advisory Board.
Okay. So let's start with the agenda, the quick logistical items. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the items that we sent to you? Just so on confirming the ground rules and meeting notes, the charge and protocols, there was one amendment that was on page 3 under decision making, the second, third bullet under decision making. And it's underlined, so that was the only modification that was not the same. 6 voting members must be present to constitute a quorum. Can we get a motion? Did you approve that?
Not for me.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
There's just for clarification, there's 11 total council?
There's 12 with an ex officio.
12 plus ex officio? Or
11 plus ex officio.
12 total.
Can I make motions or just no votes? Probably no motions. Let's just keep it simple. All right.
So moved and seconded.
I didn't hear what we're voting on.
Approving the charge and protocols. It's the item after the agenda.
And what was the, where's the modification again?
Page 3, third bullet under decision making.
Page 3 of what?
This thing here. Six members must be present. Yeah, this is
the same right here.
That's original. This is something
they said. 6 voting members must be present to constitute a quorum. Yes.
It came with this. Okay. This is probably the last thing. Or somewhere along the last night. It's in there somewhere.
It's on the third page.
Page 3.
Of the new stuff.
It's page 3 of what you're looking at.
Okay. So the new information that we make copies of for you should go under tab 8 of your packet.
Tab which? 8? Is there anything new in this that you didn't email us?
I think the only thing that's in... No, it should be everything because I emailed you the last public comment today. Any discussion on the motion? And second. Seeing none. Approval.
Aye.
All right, so the next item is the summary notes. Binder materials that were included, those are in addition to what was just passed, we have a draft of a freight rail dependent use overlay that this is just our initial pass edit that we're going to flesh out. and we're just showing you what that could look like. Definitions for discussion, criteria for freight rail dependent uses, the commodities list, the employment zoning district that includes the rural industrial land bank and all of your industrial uses, and then three public comments that we received since our last meeting. So all those are all of the materials that are in the binder for this evening. Any questions? So the next item, one of the things that we were, I heard from last meeting was we may not have enough meetings. And so one of the ideas is to extend by an hour these meetings instead of going from 6 to 8, going from 6 to 9. That'll essentially give us one additional meeting. So that's up for you to discuss.
Can we get pillows for our chairs?
Donuts?
Jose, is it within the purview of this group that if we feel we have not reached, fleshed out everything we're supposed to do, that we can add additional meetings?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, for me personally, as my office is in Bellevue, I would prefer we move the meetings if we're going to make it an hour longer, make it earlier, rather than later.
Good thing you can't vote.
I can't even make a motion or make a suggestion or anything.
That's a lovely suggestion. I don't like it.
Some backdoor reason why my clock doesn't work from either staff side or...
The thinking behind that is to give the public a better opportunity to attend.
I'm traveling from Woodburn, Oregon, so it's kind of difficult to get too much earlier. So,
What about if we're in a meeting? Can we extend it?
I think that's what.
Yeah, because, you know, like last time at 7 o'clock, we kind of went through everything, and we had some public testimony just to fill in the time. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be some meetings where we got a whole lot to do, and some meetings maybe not a whole lot.
Yeah. And I think that's within the protocols to do that.
But I also think, I think at every meeting we should have some public testimony. We should give them an opportunity for sure.
Right, but it wasn't on the agenda.
But we should. I can't make a motion or vote. I think it's important to hear from the people in the audience every meeting.
Right. And in the protocols you just adopted, we have, if time allows, we will have public comment. So you can extend that.
I think extending it to 9 o'clock is a little too long because of the people who do come from work. I mean, they're coming essentially right from work, and they're coming here and staying until 8 o'clock is a lot to ask, and then to go till 9 o'clock is a bit much.
How would you feel about 8:30? Do you think that would be helpful? No, I'm serious. I mean, you're trying to, you know, I want to make sure. I'm really, really interested in the public's comment. I think it's super important to the people, and that's why they're here. I don't know.
Or we just add another meeting.
But at each meeting, I think when they're here, they may have something to say and give them a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't care whether we make it longer or add another meeting. I just want to make sure we get our work done properly and that everybody gets heard.
I'm completely comfortable with having the option to extend an hour, but not necessarily requiring that we don't need to take that long. So I think if that's understood. But the expectation is we might go an additional hour if needed. If there's some way to effectively communicate that to this group and to the public, that would be my preference.
I think that's a good idea. Do we need a motion for that?
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
Last flight's at 9:45, so.
Aww. There's a Best
we
Western
Plus. We only have an airport
Plus.
Out here.
There's a Best Western Plus so right out there on Main Street.
Just kidding.
Well, it's going to be a tough group.
We got newborn twins at home. My wife would have an opinion on that.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yes, but...
If I had twins at home, I'd say, make this meeting go as long as you want.
Well, that's a good
my
one.
Wife,
I'll bet you what.
Right,
I'll second Mike's motion.
What was the motion?
Was there a motion?
Well, I thought I heard a motion.
I think it's fine if we just say that we'll extend it if we need to.
As needed.
As needed.
Okay. All right. So the next item is a free draft code outline, which is just past the meeting notes, and it's 4250 acts, and this is just a template, essentially, of what the code looks like and some of the elements in it, the purpose, the applicability, drafted some language.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
That's not the draft, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that the same as the format that was used in the other one you gave us, the 4230085?
That's actually the code language.
Right.
I mean, it's very similar.
But it's the same format.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So, like, if we get all this done, we'll just add another column? Okay.
We'll get to that. But yeah, so this is just essentially what, just to give you a sense of what it would look like and what some of the elements are within that. Any questions about that?
I had a question on the overlay in general. Was the overlay meant to simply capture those parcels that were eligible under the criteria set, or was there another, are there other potentially eligible parcels per the legislation that aren't included?
So the legislation applies to the entirety of the railroad, including incorporated jurisdictions. So we have 33 miles of rail line where it could potentially apply. We started with that overlay given the time constraints we had last year, and we just narrowly defined adjacent to get that. So that's something that we can refine as part of the development standards through this process.
So we can extend the overlay then in the development process, you're saying?
So you can modify the language, then you would have to, we would have to amend the map, and the map can only be amended once a year.
Right, no, I understand that.
Yeah. So, because right now, and the language for what we came up with to do that hasn't been codified either. So defining what adjacency is, isn't. We have a definition in our...
You guys want to speak up a little bit? We can't hear you back there.
Okay. We have a definition of adjacency in our code, which essentially says near or close. We do have a definition, some other definitions, but we haven't really operationally defined what adjacent is in our code. So that's something that could be done through this process in creating development standards. We sort of have what's reflected in the map, it's pretty narrow, it's sort of the starting point, but there's no parameter on that, is what the end point could be.
Isn't adjacent, there's a definition in your comprehensive plan. Are you saying that we can modify your comp plan? Because, or are we required to follow that definition? Or
I don't think there's a definition of adjacent in the comp plan.
There actually is, yeah.
It's in the code.
Steve, it's like page 400, you gotta...
Right, but there's a definition in
adjacent.
The code. In the code. And the code not is comp plan. The development regulation that we would have to use.
I believe it's in your comp plan.
I understand what you're saying. And I'm telling you there's a definition in the code, and the code would be the applicable standard.
Okay.
And that, can you point that out for us so that we can see exactly what that says? Because I think that might be a really big point of contention.
Of what
adjacent
the definition
means.
Is.
Yeah. Like, but the meaning of is.
But isn't the point that we can redefine adjacent if we so choose? There's no...
I don't know that we can. I don't know the rules about that.
That's the question.
Well, I guess, is that on the agenda to redefine adjacency?
I think that's part of the development standards, that we want to codify that as it applies to this freight rail dependent overlay.
I don't think close to or lying near defines anything. It's whatever you want.
Right.
3 inches or 3 miles, close near.
I think the thing you should start off with is that what is the intent of the a railroad? How is it? How do you engineer a siding, and how is that used by a company? And how are you going to? What kind of businesses are going to potentially be there? You need to have, I think, an endpoint in mind, understanding of what is going to go there before you can say what's adjacent, because you might end up with a nice map that nobody could build on.
It's kind of an insecurity thing. I was just thinking if we say adjacent is one thing, or if we just go with what's on this overlay now, it's up for grabs every 12 months.
Yeah.
And that's kind of creepy if you don't know what your land is going to be doing and you can't make a plan.
No, and I understand that. And so we've started with the overlay, and that's what we're going to work on. And so we need to come up with the uses that could be allowed there. So we have sort of what at the minimum would be meet the definition of adjacent. If there's, we either have to more clearly operationally define what's there, and I want to come back to that. I want to get to the other definition
Well, from a purely practical standpoint, if the customer has to make use of the rail, by definition, they'll be adjacent also. If we're bringing in rail cars,
right,
they sort of have to be adjacent. They have to actually be not just adjacent, but just connected to the rail.
But we're talking about the use of the property.
The use of the property and down the road, not just today snapshot.
In order to qualify, they have to make use of the rail, right, which means I've got to get the rail onto their property.
But the thing that where adjacent is important is that if a guy comes in and says, I need 100 acres for this project, and we say that you got to be within 500 feet of the railroad, your parcel is, well, that 500 feet may be the end of one parcel of maybe five parcels he has, but that is not only where the rail ends, but that's also where the ability to permit all these additional uses end.
But he doesn't qualify unless he makes use of the rail.
He doesn't qualify for nothing once he gets past that 500.
In your scenario, he would somehow have to solve that issue first and get the railroad run to his property.
He wouldn't be eligible if the property is not within the overlay.
Or that too.
Well, here's the question I got, and I think it's central to what we're talking about. Are we going to have a very few large areas, or are we going to have a bunch of little ones? And because, like, I was going through all these uses, and a lot of them were maybe, and the maybe was, if it's on that big blue project and there's acres around and it's isolating the neighbors, yeah. But if it's on that little orange one down the bottom right by the houses, no. So, somewhere, I mean, that's how Brush Prairie got in trouble. They put a heavy, they permitted a heavy industrial operation in the middle of a neighborhood. So,
well, and that's the point.
Still, that still was a major sticking point.
Lakeside Industries,
people in Brush Prairie,
that asphalt plant,
right? And that's everything we're talking about. They sided on that site because they were going to bring their rock in by rail. So all the things that we think about for bringing rail that is good turned bad because it was put on the wrong spot. And the wrong spot was a small parcel next to, there's a trailer park.
Home park.
A lot of people's homes are there.
So we have to be able to say, We as a group have to know, when we say you can use this use, it's going to be anywhere in the overlay.
But John, there's nothing in here that restricts us from sort of just one freight rail dependent use overlay zone. For example, they have the stuff down there next to those properties. If I lived in sort of that yellow section,
I wouldn't want heavy industrial across the rail tracks from me at all. I would not be happy. At the same time, if you go up into like the center of the Lagler 156 acre parcel, if you put a slightly heavier there and buffered it with light industrial, there's nothing that says we can't do that.
That's what I was...
Because we've got to be good neighbors. You know, there's people in here that live in this area and they don't want that stuff near their homes.
That's not what this says. What this says...
We can do that.
You're not involved.
I know. I'm not voting.
No, you're not.
I can't make a motion.
When somebody decides they want to put something on this property...
We get to decide what they put on there, John. We don't have to let them do anything they want there. That's the whole purpose of this group.
Can I have a shot? If we look at the overlay as it is now, and we say that's our starting point, and we don't define adjacent, every 12 months, I'm repeating, this is going to come up again, and it's just going to grow. So maybe that's what we want, maybe that's not what we want, but we have to think about it. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, it seems to me like you need to define adjacent now as it exists, and the process for changing that if it wants to be changed in the future, which helps protect what you're talking about. There's a process you have to go through to change that overlay, but I think we ought to define what that overlay is today rather than limit it to that small group right now.
Could I have a shot at that? John said that, say, in that blue area that he needs 70, Nesbitt Company needs 75 acres, but it's deeded to about seven different people out there.
No, it's one person.
It's controlled by one group.
Okay.
It's Dennis Lagler.
Okay, but as an example, there's seven different people that own property out there. And so adjacent, I wrote down, adjacent is a property bordering on other properties that are continuous to a property touching the railroad.
Except that Merriam-Webster doesn't define it that way, and that goes to a cross-purpose for what I would really like, but it's really true that that's not exactly what the dictionary says. Ooh, I can't believe I said that. But it's true.
But it doesn't matter what the dictionary says.
Right. It matters if we start thinking about how we want it. You're right, but, you know, we can't come up with a meaning that doesn't have any context anywhere else in the world. We can't say, golly, it's the other side of Lagler's down there by Winco. We have to come up with something sensible.
Right. Well, so two thoughts real quick. First is, I don't think this group is going to get much farther down this process unless we just deal with this. Let's just deal with it is my first thought. My second is, why not say something, and I'm just throwing out a definition similar to Lloyd. Why not just say adjacent means that property within an overlay zone, a railroad dependent use overlay zone, that also directly abuts an existing railroad line?
Abuts is not in the statute.
But we're defining it.
Well, so the issue with that, and so if you look at the map, you can see it's light industrial across the street where Lagler's other property is. That was what the legislature was debating, and it's already been passed in the county. That's already zoned light industrial, and that's been done for a while now. The stuff down south there, the orangish color, whatever you want to call that, was not really ever on anyone's radar screen. But what the county really wanted to do, what the legislature approved, and what the governor signed on to, was including that light blue to the right of 503, Lagler's main area. And so when you say the existing short line, word existing is a problem, because that's really the area that everyone wanted to get jobs on. And so we somehow need to include that somehow. And there's ways to get a railroad there with minimal impact on other properties, but that's the land that should be cross-hatched in this meeting, but it was not.
Yeah.
The stuff down there,
got it.
And it's back to what John said earlier about, too, is if you've got a huge piece of property like that, you can do all kinds of buffers and everything and protect from the neighborhood. But if you've got that little 5-acre parcel, you can't do anything and still use it as industrial land. I mean, you can't put the buffers on that you would need to protect from the rest of the neighborhood. So that's why you need to have this definition of what's going to be there, so you can develop the standards that you're going to set for buffering it from the community.
Okay, so a couple things. Whatever, if you want to get into the definition of adjacent, if you think that's where we need to begin, is that what I'm hearing?
I think so.
Yeah. So, again, the bill can apply to throughout the entire 34 miles of the rail line. If we come up with a definition of adjacent, that's going to apply to this area and potentially other areas along the line. So you should just be aware of that.
But it would only apply to other areas if you guys change the comprehensive plan.
The overlays.
Yes. Yeah,
the comprehensive plan is the overlay map and other things.
Correct.
Yeah. So you only change that once a year and it's a public process. And as we both know, Jose, it's a pretty involved, intense process.
Right. So, whatever definition that, like I said, what we started with adjacent on the definitions for discussion page is essentially there. That's where you want to start and try to modify that to come up with essentially an operational definition of adjacent that captures the land that you think should be in this overlay. That's the place to start.
I can't tell how many feet that is.
Yeah, so if I can jump up real fast, which I'm going to do regardless. So the question we have over here is, we don't have footage on here. So is this parcel, for example, within 500 feet? That's
there's a scale down the bottom.
Yes.
So this parcel would be within 500 feet.
Where's the 500 foot mark, roughly, from that?
I think this is the first.
Right about there?
And that would or would not, do we know?
It's included in the overlay.
But is it within 500 feet?
If it's included in the overlay.
Oh, it is. Okay.
If it's not overlay, if it's not tied to the railroad, but it's in the overlay, then it's within 500 feet.
Got it.
Okay.
By definition.
We already have a definition.
So could an industry that's not on the railroad directly, they would need truck transportation to get in. Is that correct?
No.
Probably?
No. They could not use the law because they were not making use of the railroad.
So I guess the question is, do you understand the law to say that you have to use the rail for coming and going?
No.
Okay.
No, but that piece of property by itself could not qualify.
Unless they got an easement through the other properties.
Right. I'm just saying that piece of property cannot qualify by itself. He has to have cooperation with somebody that goes to the railroad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's what my mind said here. A property bordering on other properties that are contiguous to a property touching the railroad.
That's
contiguous.
So
he can run his railroad.
Right, so wouldn't that just go on infinitum?
Kinda.
Yeah, because if you build a railroad.
Until you get to the river, yeah, pretty much.
So I might want to narrow that.
I think it's critical that we, whatever we do, doesn't increase truck traffic on 117th. And any light industry should have raw materials brought in by rail and finished products sent out by rail. We do not need to increase truck traffic on 117th or local streets. That's getting bad enough as it is without.
That would completely change.
And so the rail would be the way to get their stuff in and out. Well, if they're not on the rail, how are they going to do that?
Does that apply to the adjacency question?
Well, it sort of does, because if they're not adjacent to the rail, how are they going to have access to the rail?
Got it. I see where you're going. Yeah.
Well, the railroad can't carry less than carload traffic. The only way a company could get their small shipments out is by UPS or truck.
Yeah, well, just like Anderson Dairy, you know, they bring in the pellets because they can get the weight in still, but then, you know, you try to load milk jugs onto a rail car, you know, and weigh, you know, 500 pounds instead of 100 tons. So it's in, you know, they have to haul it out by truck.
Eric, almost 100% of the cars Port of Vancouver in for you are one-way rail traffic. I mean, it's either riding or taken out. It's not both.
That's typical across the country.
Yeah, and the bill just says you have to make use of the rail. And I think the understanding is that it's not more than likely you'll have products coming in and stuff being shipped out by truck.
Yeah, I think one direction.
One way or the other.
Will likely be by truck, and so there will, I mean, if this law is successful, there's certainly going to be an increase in some truck traffic on 503 and on about 117th, but hopefully it'll be offset by a decrease in car traffic, and we're actually trying to keep people from commuting to Portland. So it's, how that balances out, I'm not sure exactly.
Sorry, it's hard to hear with side conversations going on.
Oh, sorry about that, my bad.
So back to the definition of adjacent.
Kind of like in the one that's right here.
If we use that 500-foot corridor and we said anything that is in that corridor or owned or controlled by property that's in that that corridor, abutting that is included in it. It gets the Lagler property in. And it gets, I guess it was Mr. Cotton, I think, had a piece of property. He has four properties that are adjacent to the railroad and one that's isolated that he would like to have included in there. So if we just said if it's owned or controlled by, and then develop a mechanism saying if in the future someone controls other properties, they would have to apply for getting that attached. You'd have to set up a mechanism for changing that in the future, which helps solve your problem of changing it every year.
It's going to happen anyway. I mean, didn't Eric just say that the minute we get done here, we're going to start application process to expand it?
Well, that's what I mean. It's going to be there, but it's got to go through an application, and it can't just be arbitrary.
No,
so you wouldn't have a corridor that goes straight across the county for, you know, 20 miles.
But if you do it wrong.
Well, I mean, all you'd have to buy is a piece of property adjacent to your other piece of property and just keep running the railroad out there if you didn't put some restrictions on it.
You have to put some restrictions on it, for sure.
When you do a spur to survey industry, is that considered part of the short line, or is that just a spur?
It can be either way, actually. If we own that as part of the railroad, part of the federal railroad system.
Depending on whether you own it.
And then, but also the industry can put in their own spur as well.
Then that's private track that belongs to the industry. Coming off the spur that it either belonged to, would belong to Clark County, the spur would. Chulachi Prairie Railroad.
But I think to alleviate some of the concerns, I mean, the railroad cannot expand indefinitely. There are financial limitations, engineering limitations where, I mean, yeah, to put in a new piece of track, even where it's already been established, is, you know, $900,000 a mile. If you've got to get across 503 or, you know, get across a river or something, it's incredibly expensive. So there, I think there's no realistic fear that this will somehow expand to Washougal or, I don't know, La Center or something like that. I mean, in theory, I guess it could, but it's not realistic. Where it's going to expand is to the Lagler farm if Dennis wants to sell, and that's about it.
So looking at the term adjacent as, or the definition of adjacent that the county provided,
It's looking good.
Yeah, is there anything wrong with that?
No, it's only one of the industrial wants to go 580 feet from the railroad.
Property that's owned or controlled by.
I didn't hear either one of you.
I think you have to add the part that's, if it is property owned or controlled by at the time we established this, because the Lagler property is all controlled by one person, even though it's in different parcels. He has an agreement that controls that whole 700 acres or whatever it is.
So I can understand what you mean, Daniel. Could you put that into the definition of adjacent so I know what you mean?
Where's the adjacent?
It's
right there at the top.
It's at the top of the yellow highlighted page.
Well, you would just insert right after parcels that abut or are owned or controlled by parcels that abut the railroad.
I'm not sure I understand. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just not sure I understand what you mean.
It would include parcels that abut the railroad, and it would include those parcels abutting that property that are owned or controlled by the property that abuts the railroad.
So if it's a piece like this that is all owned by one person, that is continued.
Right, even though it's outside the 500-foot boundary. But it could be a parcel that he owns both parcels or controls both parcels.
So all of this area in blue, I believe, is controlled by one owner.
Oh.
So the idea would be that all of this property would be included.
Well, you'd have to meet two tests. Then you'd not only have to be one owner, but then you would have to change the comp plan. So
yes, you would.
Yeah. It's adding an extra test effectively.
So you would be. This property, if you change the definition, then these properties would be eligible to have the overlay over it.
Right.
Okay.
January 2019, they can pass that.
Yeah.
There's one other property that Mr. Cotton has.
Yes.
I think he has five 20-acre parcels on the other side of the railroad, and four of them are abutting it, but one is not abutting it, and it's beyond the 500-foot. Mark, but that he would qualify then because he owns or controls those parcels that are abutting the railroad.
So he owns parcels abutting, and then there's a skip space, and he owns one up here?
No, it's not a skip space. It's adjacent to those, but it's outside the 500-foot mark.
So it's he might own one of these, and he also owns these properties.
Oh.
And so since they're under the same ownership, those would also be eligible.
Well, I have a question on the 500 feet.
Uh-huh.
So as it reads right here, parcels that abut the shoreline railroad or are located within 500 feet. Uh-huh. Does that include the entire parcel, regardless of its size?
Any part of it.
Okay, there's no 500 foot.
That's why that one that he pointed out earlier meets the criteria, but it doesn't abut the railroad.
Which one is
point
that?
To that one right there.
Okay.
It's a parcel that's not abutting the railroad, but it's within that 500-foot corridor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, it's already in the overlay, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's already.
Just the language.
So, and Dr. Cotton appeared before the Planning Commission and made that request at the time. I think he owns five parcels, and three of which are included.
Right.
And he has two that fall outside, but it's all under his ownership. And
right.
So he had requested that. And then obviously Dennis Lagler. And
so if we change the whole thing so that one person can do what he wants, then it makes it so it's available for everybody to do that. So we're like showing favoritism, and that's odd to me. That doesn't seem right.
No, you know, it's not showing favoritism. It's just saying that's the property they own today. He can't go out tomorrow. Then you'd have to develop the mechanism, which will be in the development regulations, if you want to have another property. If you buy a property adjacent to one that qualifies, you would have to qualify in the future. you'd have to have an application
right.
for that.
My preference is to leave it the way the definition is here on the yellow highlighted page for now.
Well, my problem with that is a piece of property that they want to build on it, and in order to build their facility, it's 580 feet back from the railroad. Well, what about that 80 feet?
That's okay, so long as the property line is within 500
right.
feet.
If
they, it doesn't
if
matter
their property
where it
starts
rests.
In that 500 foot mark and it extends out, that's okay.
Yeah, but if it's 500 feet, the parcel line ends, and there's another parcel he wants to build on, he can't.
Correct.
Because the building is tied to the use to the
right.
overlay.
That's why we have to have rules.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, if you want a bunch of little, you know, like you have in Brush Prairie spots up and down the railroad, this is how you get there with a definition like that. You get it?
However, you know that every year it's going to come up and every year it's going to be expanded. Well, when they built Disneyland, it was in the middle of nowhere.
I know, that was the first year there.
What about, we have a public comments that was submitted today, and it has another version of adjacent, which essentially what this says is adjacent means whatever's in the overlay zone.
But you need a definition to guide what the overlay
right.
zone is. That's the only problem.
Because otherwise it changes.
Okay. So we need to define it something. The definitions on the yellow page is how we came up with this to start with.
Can we come up with a definition that fits?
Can I suggest a compromise position to alleviate your concerns?
Whatever's in the blue.
I'm not sure you can alleviate all of my concerns, but you can try.
Let's say that there is sort of a grandfathering in, because I know that Dr. Cotton is here and I know that Dennis Ligler, those were two proponents of this. Grandfathering in, at the time the law was passed, joint ownership. But not go where you're sort of going, where somebody can kind of buy a bunch of parcels and then say, oh, I jointly own these, and we can go do whatever we want.
I'd have to see that wordsmithed.
I understand that. That was 5 seconds of work on my part. I know
that was excellent. Especially with twins.
That's what I was suggesting, is that it's those people that are existing today,
yeah.
and then you have to have regulations to say how you can do that in the future and make those regulations tighter as you go forward. And as I said the first day I was here, I said the purpose is not to have these bunch of little parcels all along the railroad that we need, because they don't work. As John has said before, they just don't work. We need to have the big parcel so we can build the railroad, we can buffer it, and make it usable for the railroad and the businesses coming in to use it. That's the whole purpose
right.
of it.
Right. So correct me if I'm wrong. What you're suggesting already goes outside the overlay that was already, that has been put up here. Is that
That's
correct?
That's correct.
So, wow. We're already ahead of ourselves.
Here's an idea. What if we don't put any definition and we just say, you can apply to have your property included in the overlay zone, and it's up to the county to determine if they want you in there. If Ben says, I have 200 acres and I have a company that's ready to come in.
Then you go through this process every time that happens, I think.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, this is good. I think part of the problem we got here is that if we went on the other side of Brush Prairie and looked at the parcels up there, this might be easier, because there's so much history and there's so much political stuff going on with these parcels right here that, you know, everybody sees something, you know, something's going to happen with Lagler's property, or something's going to happen over here down the road. There's just too much baggage with this stuff here to really get a good conversation going.
I'm not comfortable getting too creative with the definition, in the sense that adjacent should have some common sense kind of bounding to it. I think to the extent that there's mechanisms of expanding the short line, if you're looking at the spur as becoming the short line, and that expands your opportunity to expand the overlay in those key areas we talked about. And then from an aggregation standpoint, if you can aggregate it to become a single tax lot, if there's a mechanism for that, that would be another consideration I think that I'd be more comfortable with in terms of applying into the overlay versus a common ownership type clause in terms of the adjacency. I think that gets real messy really quick.
Well, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
But I don't know what that's called or what the practicalities of that are in terms of merging. I know there's...
We generally don't do it, but I think... So a way to get to that is maybe coming up with a minimum size for development, that you need X amount of acres, that would force the aggregation so you wouldn't have the really small parcels.
I like that too.
Makes sense.
I like that.
So that, which would not be part of the term adjacent, that's later on.
That's
in
something
standards.
Else, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you could say, you know, you could aggregate the parcel, it's got to be a minimum size and it has to be adjacent.
Which kind of takes us back to the definition the county gave us.
Nice. Look at that.
Well, but it still doesn't get the Lackler property in there because it wouldn't qualify under either one of those.
Isn't that limiting the potential for certain industries that might use the rail if you set a size limit on it? If their needs are larger than that, it kind of limits what could be done there.
Well, and so you would, there's a lot of expertise in the room related to the railroad, so I don't think there would be an issue with what the size or estimating what the needs are. I think we are hearing that we don't have enough larger parcels.
So the size limit would be a minimum size.
Right.
So it has to be that or larger.
Right.
That makes sense.
But I bring up once again, however this we move forward with adjacency, the parcels that the legislature and the county council have always focused on are the big Lackler parcel that's currently in, which is 156 acres, and then sort of the big parcels on the other side of 503. And so I think is through some mechanism of adjacency or development regulations, those are really the parcels that everyone wanted in. You can see the already light industrial, the county's been trying to do this for years, and that's what the legislature debated, was those parcels. Through whatever mechanism.
So at this point, you're not really giving up anything because they already are in light industrial properties.
But that could change. There's a lawsuit by Thousand Friends of Washington.
We're looking at here and today.
I understand, but...
Well, and since we're under the appeal, you couldn't apply for anything in those areas right now.
So getting back to what Mike said, it made some really good sense. Can you put that in a motion?
Well, no, I mean, my motion would be simply just to be okay with the proposed definition here. I think that the question is around mechanisms where the short line, you know, there's financial considerations and other, both from an aggregation of parcels and the implication of that and the extension of a short line and what that would be in terms of eligibility for the overlay in the future. But I think given what we've got for the year and the definition presented, practically, I don't know if it makes a whole lot of sense to try to get too creative at this point.
But I think that, you know, probably something we should discuss is what would be a good minimum size.
That's a separate topic over right. This first part. I think we should settle this and then move on, my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, not to be contrary, but I have been known to be. You know, if just this one thing by itself gets us back to the number of small parcels.
Yeah, we still don't get the parcel size that is appropriate.
Well, how's this for a solution? We can table the adjacency issue, move over to the parcel size issue, and once we've dealt with that, we can come back and vote on both.
And how does that solve the problem?
Well, the
we do both. Then we end up with aggregate parcels, minimum parcel size, and then we can use that definition of adjacent.
In other words, what I'm trying to do is just move the conversation forward, setting this part of it aside so we can focus on the other side for the moment.
Because it sounds like this solution stands on three legs: the definition of adjacent, parcel size, and the ability to aggregate smaller parcels. So we got two of them possibly done, so let's do the third. Good idea. Why don't you facilitate that?
So you mentioned having the aggregation could be dealt with through a minimum parcel size. Is that what you're looking at?
Well, I think we need to maybe not, you know, we're not going to put a regulation, but we might put an intent that it's, you know, our intent that the county should encourage the aggregation of smaller parcel sizes along the railroad. We can say that as to the county commissioners.
Right, and then they're going to ask, and that's what you're tasked with, is, okay, that's a development regulation. That's why you're here.
Okay.
So you need to...
So the regulation is anybody wants to can. Next.
Anybody who wants to can. Yeah. Right, they can do that now, but you want to encourage it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just contextually, I mean, the projects that we submitted to the legislature that were part of the discussion in this, there's really the Ackerlin piece, the large blue piece, is really the only one that applies to conversations we had with potential clients. Most of those incorporated a larger site and the ability to use both sites and challenges around certainty on those. And you know, some were very straightforward in terms of what we're proposing, some not. So. But I'm a little bit concerned about forcing aggregation because I don't, from an overall market standpoint, there very well may be good uses for some of these smaller parcels that would have economic viability that wouldn't necessarily deter a larger user coming in close by. So I want to be careful about requiring aggregation as part of this without thinking through what the potential uses could be. That could be like a, you know, farm to market type. Yeah. Scenario in which we unnecessarily restrict some type of activity that most of us would love to see that makes use of the rail. So I just want to be careful about forcing aggregation as part of the initial discussion.
Yeah, not require, but encourage.
So I've got a question about if you were to include property on the other side, where do you see that you would keep the grade crossing to where it is right now and then come off to the other side? So would you end up at, since that property is outside the 500 feet, would that be a whole nother kettle? Are you gonna expand it even further?
Well, like I said, I mean, when the legislature was debating the law, and the law the governor signed, it was all about the Lagler parcels on both sides.
Right.
Same thing, and you're looking at the map right now, that's what the county wanted. That's what the legislature and governor wanted. And so, through some mechanism, there's a couple different routes we take. We could expand the railroad to the big parcels. That's really was the goal, because we can create a lot of jobs if we have those in our inventory. How we get there, there's several different ways. But that really, to me, was the intent of the legislation. That was the desire of the council, desire of the governor. And in the future, somehow, we should get there. And this year, it's done. The comp plan is written. It got changed in January. We're spending a lot of time on this, but it's not going to happen. The earliest we could even include that is next January. So, I mean, at this point, I think we should move forward with basically development regulations on that side. Not completely ignoring it, but we can come back to that in the future, because it's not going to change until January anyways. And we spent, you know, almost an hour talking about adjacency, and at this pace, we're going to need five more meetings.
Point of order, in all due respect to Mr. Temple, he is an ex officio member, but he's controlling the conversation to a large extent, and what he just said does not sound like what Mike just said about what was discussed with the parcels. So I'm starting to get confused because I didn't hear both those conversations.
Okay, so I guess the thing would be to focus on what the legislature adopted language. If we get appealed, it's going to be based on the language that's in the law. There's not any maps that came with the legislation. whether it was both sides or one side really doesn't matter. What's on written on the paper is the law, and that's, we come up with this first take on what the overlay is. That's what the overlay is. That's where it's applied. We can work with to modify that and expand. We put the 500-foot limit on there as a beginning point because of the time constraints. In other sort of planning scenarios, there's quarter-mile distances from the rail lines mm-hmm. that are used, and so you could look at, instead of 500 feet, you could do a quarter-mile distance from the rail line, but that could potentially apply through the, throughout the whole thing. But that's one measure that might capture what the desire is. So we, you know, we started with 500 feet. That's the minimal that we could do.
With the existing rail industrial zoning or whatever it's called, does it have a distance from it? There's no language in there to follow.
No. This is unique to the with this bill that really talks about the rail being the focal point and the adjacency to the rail line. The Rural Industrial Land Bank, I mean, we made it a rail component, but there's, I don't think there's any requirement with the legislation that was, that adopted that.
For the purpose of moving forward, and so that we can have a discussion according to Robert's rules, I'd like to make a motion that we use the existing overlay with the existing definition and move forward. That's my motion.
For the purpose of discussion, I'll second that motion.
Discussion.
I think we're premature in doing that until we settle the other two.
You actually can't have a discussion according to Robert's rules unless you have a motion on the floor. And we're having all kinds of side conversations, and that's going nowhere.
So perhaps BBA might offer an amendment to make that a quarter mile instead of 500 feet.
For the purposes of, are you asking me if I will accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yeah, she has to. She
okay. Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
Yes, so I'll you can move to move it.
I'll second that.
Move to move it.
Second.
Okay. Now we're discussing the amendment.
Can you show us where a quarter mile would be on there?
Here's a third of a mile, so it doesn't get you over to Lagler.
It takes in some of Lagler, doesn't it? Isn't that part? That
so
blue.
Probably here. This, but not this.
I don't think it crosses over.
Make it a half a mile.
I measured at some point, I think, that the distance from the rail line to the edge of the Lagler property is maybe over a mile.
Yeah, it's a way.
So why the quarter mile as opposed to 500 feet? What was the logic?
I think 500 feet is too constraining.
Well, it's 500 feet to the start of a property, so it can go quite a bit beyond 500 feet if that property starts within the 500 feet.
I understand, but just looking how the parcels are already cut up so much, I'm just trying to expand the, instead of constraining it.
Flexibility. The good part I see about that is like right below the blue, you know, you're going to pick up two or three parcels on the backside, so you end up with a bigger parcel on the rail itself that are within the quarter mile zone as opposed to like one or two that just fit the 500 feet.
I think for future discussion, if we can make a definition of adjacent that doesn't require us to come back and redefine adjacent every year as the overlay map is under consideration, I think that would be ideal. And I think to your point, when we're looking at the other requirement of being dependent on the rail, that kind of necessitates some common ownership or some control of those parcels, even if it is more than 500 feet. And so I'm not so much concerned, and I'd rather be a little bit more liberal with the definition to the extent that it's practical. So for that purpose, I would support the quarter mile amendment.
Yeah, because, you know, like, if all we're talking about is, you know, the loading and unloading of material, 500 feet, I'd be happy. But we're talking about businesses coming in that they need room for loading and unloading, their manufacturing, their parking, all these things. And those, you know, that parcel that are that close to the railroad, it's pretty hard to get all that stuff in.
Good.
I agree with John. We're putting in constraints there that could cause eliminate an industry.
So it sounds like there are, I'll call the question because I think we've got more or less a consensus on this.
So
one.
The question to the amendment?
On the amendment.
Yes,
right.
The amendment. Yeah.
Make sure you have four and opposed.
Yeah, move and second. So those in favor of the amendment?
Could you repeat the amendment again, please?
So the amendment would be parcels that abut the short line railroad or are located within a quarter mile or quarter mile of the railroad.
So the definition of adjacent is to replace 500 feet with a quarter mile.
Okay. All of those approved?
Aye.
All those opposed?
For the record, I'm opposed. And apparently so is Daniel. We agree on something. I knew I liked you.
Well, I make fun of you.
Record me.
Lloyd is also opposed.
Also opposed.
Okay. It passed. So now back to what I proposed, which was... I forgot. It's been a while.
Table something.
No,
motion to adopt the amendment.
To simply adopt.
Oh, so,
yeah.
So it will state. I'll restate it. And you can add in that other parcels that are close to or lying near the short line railroad or within quarter mile. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Where am I at?
I want this yellow.
Oh. I switched a page. I apologize. Parcels that abut the short line railroad or are located within a one quarter mile of the railroad. It's not really my motion, so I don't really want my name on it. It's been amended, so I don't know how that works with Robert's
rules.
You
can vote against your own motion.
I vote against my own motion?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
I'll second your motion.
Oh. It's already been seconded.
Just hang me.
So we're discussing the
discussion of the motion as amended.
Any further discussion?
I move that we include in that properties that are controlled by or owned by persons that also abut those properties that are adjacent to the railroad.
So, I just for the purpose of Robert's rules, you're making another amendment while we're voting on one. So you're just
this
sure.
Discussion. I'm making.
Yeah,
he can
make another amendment. Yeah, because we're not voting yet, so
there's no second, so we shouldn't be talking.
That's true.
I hear a second.
What's the...
The motion is to include the properties that abut properties that are in that zone. The Cotton property and the Lagler property, basically.
That's what I said an hour ago.
You want to second that then?
I second it.
Discussion on the amendment.
So we just took the whole thing and threw it out and added... things that aren't, I don't understand how where this is headed. It doesn't make sense to do it that way.
I would just be concerned about the continuous, I don't know enough about the way that that's practically used for continuous ownership that I'm comfortable voting yes on the amendment. So I'm not going to support the amendment.
What do you understand?
I'm not
either. I
can't.
The unintended consequences of allowing continuous ownership in terms of the definition of adjacent, I'm not comfortable with yet, so. I would have to have a much longer discussion than we have time for tonight around whether that's practical or feasible. I just have concerns about how that could bleed out into unintended consequences.
Let me ask you, would it be possible for something this big, like Lagler, for him to aggregate that whole shebang into one parcel?
Sure. Well, nothing preventing him from aggregating property. It's rare.
I know, but would that answer your question, Dan? If Lagler could aggregate that into one parcel?
Well, yeah. it's in like 20 parcels now.
Dan, what part of it is it on the map?
Are you talking about all of that? It's all of that light blue.
Okay, all the light blue. All right.
Why did you make an apple on it?
Why do we make it all the way to Cowlitz County?
Second.
Because it's not in Cowlitz.
That's not a motion. I mean, we have to set a line somewhere, and I know you all have favorite things you want to do with this, but we've got to draw a line in the sand and stick with it. We can't just keep saying, well, this guy wants to do that, and that guy wants to do that, and we have to make a rule.
That's why I said I wish we were looking at a different area, because this has got too much history.
Well, and I'll copy Mike's earlier comments. Adding in a ownership component is simply not practical. So if you want to guarantee some lawsuits or this going nowhere, that would be a great way to do it.
I appreciate the intent of what you're trying to accomplish. I'm just worried about the practical application and the ramifications that could be included in the definition.
I mean, those parcels are well defined right now because of the rural industrial land bank.
Is there another way to pull those in?
Well, you'd have to parcelize it.
Well, so if based on your amended motion to include parcels that are within a quarter of a mile, if they combine those parcels, it could potentially be within a quarter of a mile.
Remembering that, again, the county would have to change the overlay zone first.
Be eligible.
The frankly point I made 40 minutes ago is this map is written in stone until January, at least. So.
Any further discussion on the proposed amendment to motion?
Would the contiguous, just a question, would the contiguous feature of the land have contiguous to that land that is within, or the parcels that are within the this quarter mile, would that, if contiguous was in there, would that bring that in?
Yes, because okay. Lagler owns or controls the whole blue section, light blue section.
So then it's not really affected by ownership as much as it's just that happens to be, and it would be contiguous?
And the other one is the parcels. Cotton property on the upper side that would bring that into. But it would be a one-time thing, not for future purposes. In other words, they can't go out and just buy another piece of property adjacent. They'd have to go through a process of aggregating.
Well, no. I think if somebody wanted to go out and buy a bunch of parcels and then wanted to apply, then it would be the same as what Lagler is right now, wouldn't it? Yes.
Call for a question.
So all those in favor of the motion?
Please restate the motion for everyone.
So the motion is to modify the definition of adjacent to read parcels that abut the short line railroad are located within a quarter mile of the railroad and contiguous to those parcels. Does that capture that?
And parcels that are contiguous to those.
And in joint ownership.
Under joint ownership.
Yeah, I'm
going to
have to disagree.
those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Back to the original amended motion.
Call for question.
Could I get, I saw like there was only like four people that voted, five people.
You want to count?
Yeah, because I only saw five people vote.
That's fair. We can do a count.
Okay. Raise hands. All those in favor of the motion? Dan's motion? Dan's amendment?
To include the contiguous properties.
Lloyd, Dan, and Dick. In favor. All those opposed? Ann, John, Ray, John, Kent, Neil, Aaron, and Mike.
Okay.
Opposed. So back to the amended.
Call for question.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion to amend the definition of adjacent to parcels that abut the short line railroad are located within 1/4 mile of the railroad. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
I didn't mean to raise my hand the first time.
So
I'm opposed.
Daniel, Lloyd, and Ann are opposed.
I'm only opposed to part of it.
You already voted on
that. No, we didn't. We voted on amendments twice, but we didn't vote on the original motion.
I did.
You did?
I like that.
Oh, boy.
So move on to the definitions.
Where are we now?
Dependent on? Is that
next? So sadly, I think dependent on is probably the more confusing or challenging one.
Hell, it's easy.
At least it'll be fresh.
This is about a 6 month deal that we're in.
It's all right. We can do it.
It'll go faster as we get comfortable with it.
Okay. Dependent on. Determined, influenced, or controlled by the short line railroad line.
I guess generally I'm okay with it. I just I have a concern about subsequent uses. So the initial building, I think, in terms of a requirement to be rail dependent and then the investment made, but uses thereafter, I'm interested in getting some clarity around what that looks like in terms of restrictions.
Clarity on what potential restrictions could be that you're going to develop?
Any further uses, and what would be the restrictions in terms of a change of use requirement if somebody's going to come in and be a manufacturer in there?
Without using the rail?
Correct. A subsequent user, not the original user.
That's something I wouldn't have even thought of.
I don't know. Well, I think since it's an overlay and the condition is that you have to use the rail line, that would still continue on in perpetuity. Whether
so
that's
enforced. If the property owner sold a rail-dependent property, mm-hmm. for him to get a building or a occupancy permit, he would have to prove that it would be rail-dependent. So he.
Right. Otherwise, it would revert to the underlying zoning.
Well, the underlying zoning is.
Right. Well, the only way you get the benefit of the overlay is by agreeing to use the rail, right?
So now I think we have an expert in the room that can answer what that looks like, because I have no idea.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with Jose on this, and obviously if anyone's got an interest in rail shipments, it's me. I think that the law applies to the initial development, thus the development regulations, but you know, many times things happen to customers. And one of our major customers on a different line, their supplier had a boiler accident, blew up, and they could no longer ship by rail. So do you go in there and this guy who's just spent you know, invested millions of dollars into Clark County, has got hundreds of employees, you say, hey, so sorry you can't get rail shipments anymore, but we're locking your door. You can't do that. I think that initially, absolutely, it's got to be rail dependent, but I think the law is not clear that that has to be the case forever in the future. And I'm the guy who wants rail shipments. But I don't think that that's how the law is read at all.
But then if you look down the line and you think, are you opening a can of worms by saying, well, now it can be manufacturing. It's not just rail dependent, but now it's manufacturing. Then what does that look like in the future? I don't know.
Well, if it's just manufacturing, you're developing somewhere else. You're not investing in rail.
You know, no, I mean, if we're not using it for a rail dependent, all of a sudden we've turned it into something else.
You wouldn't purchase that property with the intent of looking down the road to not use rail.
Right.
Part of the problem we're in right now is that the railroad over a period of time has been developed into other things than places where people can use a railroad. And you have no place to get new customers.
I agree.
So,
but I don't know what bank would finance that project. You know, if you're going out and asking somebody to, you know, give you a mortgage and to build this structure, and let's say you got multiple product lines, you know, one of which is rail dependent, but you do other stuff. You know, what if the marketplace changes and for whatever reason your product line that ships by rail once again is no longer feasible? Are you literally saying Clark County's going to shut that business down? All the other product lines, all the employees are laid off, the building is shuttered unless they ship by rail? I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think that's what the law says.
How are we, you've lost me, how are we going there? Because this is development regulations. Once it's developed, this our code no longer applies.
Well, that's my point. That's I'm arguing, actually, is that the development regulations are for the initial construction, is my
right.
point.
Yeah.
And it has to use rail.
Yeah.
Yeah, my initial question was just clarity that it is concerning the initial development that it's allowed, and then you know what happens for subsequent uses.
Okay. Yeah. And so
I absolutely think the initial development should require very close to this definition, not this definition.
Either that or where are we here, right?
It's, from a marketability standpoint, from a practical application and an investment standpoint, I'm more interested in a legal opinion on what that looks like, either in other areas of practical application in terms of allowed uses, subsequent allowed uses.
If a company goes to the expense of building a private track, a spur, at $15 a 100 feet, and also builds a loading docks and puts in all this infrastructure to accommodate rail shipments, it appears to me that they are committing themselves to being rail dependent, and anything that happens after that, we can't legislate them not going into bankruptcy. We can't pass a resolution that they'll be successful, that they'll sell it to somebody else that will use their facility. We can't legislate that. I'm sure they would try to sell it to someone else that would use a. The facility that they've spent so much money on, and they'd like to get their money back out of it. But we, just the fact that they build it themselves, the track and the docks, they are committed to being rail dependent.
Does the county have a policy on this, or does this fall up in the air? I mean, when you were talking earlier, you seem pretty sure that the use of the rail had to go on, because if you'd stop using the rail, you lost the benefit of the overlay.
Right. So, I mean, all we have is what is written in the bill, and the bill doesn't talk about subsequent users. It has no timeline of when what happens or what the second user could potentially do. The premise of the bill was to use the rail line. That's why we're here. That's what's driving this.
So for the purpose of starting discussion, I'm going to move that we accept the definition as written. And I'll need a second, and then we can discuss it.
I'll second that.
continuing on, I'm looking at, I'm not convinced why we need the first line there. I think if you just say relying on or requiring the aid and support of the short line, do you really need to say that it's determined, influenced, or controlled?
I agree with
that. They kind of say the same thing, don't they?
Yeah, it's redundant. Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot of words that don't really say anything.
I mean, so I'm looking at the softest word in the definition here from an economic development standpoint, and influenced is a very soft word for me. So when we looked at water-dependent uses or water-associated during the shoreline discussion, right, you talk about restaurants that they're influenced by because they have a nice view of the water, right? So you can get kind of creative with definitions in terms of what activities are allowed there. So. That's why I'm a little bit more comfortable, because I see some flexibility within the definition, including that first sense. Requiring the aid of or support of is a little bit stronger, you know. And I think that to some extent, if they're not actually using the railroad, that is not what I would like to see in terms of a use. But to say that the entire business is completely dependent on the rail, if the rail shuts down for a week, the business shuts down, is not necessarily what I'm hoping for either.
That makes sense.
Could we change the word requiring?
There's a lot of ors in there, so that's what I'm more comfortable with, because right. There's a lot of or. I'm good with or language.
So the first sentence.
So you're saying just leave it as is, and it's
well, just the first
covers.
Sentence.
The whole thing.
Top.
You like the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean.
Because of the ors.
I'm not a lawyer, but I like ors, so.
Ors are good.
I think there's some room to work within that. And I think the intent is to have it be a functional part of whatever activity is coming in there. And I think that allows for it based on whatever.
That, and I don't think we can know what's going to happen in the future, and that's not our job. Our job is to determine what dependent on means and get it started. What is that?
Any further discussion?
You want my motion? What are you leaving out, the on or?
At this point, we're leaving it as is.
Oh.
My motion was to take it just as the yellow highlighted section is.
Move forward.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable not knowing, you know, how this affects, you know, the day-to-day operations, especially like Burlington Northern is not a nonprofit company. And there's been a number of cases where, well, I think Eric was telling me about a case where there's a guy that's down by the river that wants to relocate. And the price that Burlington Northern gives this guy to take the same rail cars, you know, 2 miles upfield is like twice as much. So what happened, you know, because in transportation of the goods, it's always truck versus rail. You know, rail is normally cheaper for bulk commodities. But, you know, I've been on the receiving end of Burlington Northern when they think you got a guy over a barrel. What happens when Burlington Northern comes in and says, hey, you know, we told you it was $5 a ton last week, well, it was $10 a ton this week, when trucking is $5.50 a ton? You know, and I think that's probably a legal issue. You know, I would like to know where the county stands on this.
I'm a little confused about, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult, but how does that affect the definition of dependent on?
Because if you have to be dependent on the railroad, and because of their price change, you stop using the railroad today because it's costing you twice as much and you go to trucks for this period of time while the prices are too high.
Well, that kind of goes to the whole thing that we're talking about, which is we don't know what's going to happen in the future, and our job is to say these are rail-dependent uses, freight rail-dependent use advisory committee. So if they switch to trucks later on, I don't know what we can do about that. That's not really our job.
Again, this is just setting up regulations
for
what
the initial development.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the determined, influenced, or controlled by the railroad. That's the part that the rest of it relying on or requiring the aid or support of the Short Line Railroad. That makes sense, but to be dependent on it, the same thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a businessman, that somebody wants me to come in and invest. That's the first question I'm going to ask.
But this is the freight rail dependent. It's in our definition. It's what we're doing.
Yeah, but is it freight rail dependent in general? Is it freight rail dependent every single day?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do after they get their piece of ground and they build it. That's not what I'm going to worry about.
But I'm the guy that, before I build anything, I got to know.
What if we were to simply add the word generally?
Oh, God help us.
Talk about a soft word.
Mike likes it.
Mike likes it.
I'm fine.
How about maybe?
So this is where I'm struggling a little bit. I mean, I do agree the intent is to look at dependent uses and with maximizing the economic impact of the rail itself. And so you don't want to get so soft that you're allowing a convenience factor to weigh in too much. But at the same time, I don't think you want to get so restrictive that if there is temporary disruptions in the rail, the business has to shut down. And I think that's a cost. There has to be a competitive advantage for using rail on this site for that type of use. And if the rail goes away, that should also affect that competitive advantage. And not that the business can't adjust or adapt, but I think that should be taken into account. And again, relying on or requiring is a little bit tight, but at the same time, I also think it tries to hold to that spirit of dependence in there too. And we talked, in the comments, it was noted that CRTC identified preferred or non-preferred, and I think that gets to the point of kind of the stickiness of it. It'd be nice to have rail, it's cheaper in most of the instances that you're talking about, and those are the types of things, but there's a difference between preferred, not preferred, and required and not required, or dependent and not dependent. And so that's where I think, to the extent that we can hold true to trying to maximize the use of that rail, it would be good without overly restricting how much activity has to be on that rail.
Yeah, and that's, I like influence by for a lot of the reasons we all stated, including John. Once again, nobody wants rail shipments more than I do. But, you know, imagine somebody different than me sitting here, and you just built a $50 million building, and you're required to ship by rail. I could set my rates anywhere, right? I literally could set my rates at any point.
Well, I said Burlington Northern just to be
nice. I know you were looking at me though, John.
But again,
so that's my point. I shouldn't have that power over somebody who just made an investment like that.
But that's where we have all the ores.
But that's not how this works. This is just getting the thing built. Once it's built, you
exactly.
Yeah,
but nobody's going to build it.
There was discussion earlier about
there's
making
ore
a requirement
in there.
Going forward.
It's not and.
That's no.
Right. I like
doing that.
It's a redevelopment.
So I think that falls into the relying on category. If the rail becomes too prohibitively expensive, then that has an impact on the business, and they have relied on it and it has failed, but they're not required. And I think that's, as long as that's the understanding of how we're defining that, I'm comfortable with it. But I do agree.
That's not in the definition. Yeah.
It says relying on or requiring.
It's all
or.
But I meant the development. Once it's developed, we're out of this.
That's right.
This has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
So the future is an entirely different issue.
Right. But we have
I don't know if that's entirely agreed to all the way across the board, but that would be the hope. Mm-hmm. I think that.
I'm actually going to change my phone
control.
Number.
Sorry. Yeah.
So I think there are circumstances, say, if you build an industrial shell building with a certain use, and that use is no longer allowed. The zoning changes. That use can continue. It's got a non-conforming use. It's grandfathered, essentially. The person who owns that property, the business leaves, somebody comes in and want to do the same business that was there before, it's no longer allowed. Can't allow that. It's not allowed by our code under the new standards. So that's kind of where I see this potentially going in the future. You think you're going to create this list of uses. The initial user of the site who developed it is no longer using it. Now someone else is coming in. Got
have to comply with that use.
They have to comply with the standard.
Well, what about the guy that's already there, though?
They can continue.
Circumstances change, and he can't use it anymore.
And so there's a process if you're non-compliant with the existing code. If we get a complaint, code enforcement will go and investigate and determine why that's happening. They'll give you a certain amount of time to rectify that, to come into compliance with the code. And then if you don't, we can revoke, we can fine you, we can lien the property, and we can start that process. So that's a process in place.
Right, and here's another way to look at it. I'm getting a building permit to build a new house. I don't really like my house 10 years later, so I think I'm going to, smelt copper. I can't do that. Nobody can do that. You have to follow the existing uses that are allowed. Right?
I mean, you can't use it as a grow house after you built
it for me. Oh, you were watching me. Dang it.
So I think to that point, that's why I would be in favor of the softer language, and as long as relying on is not and requiring, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would happen if we just got rid of the first sentence?
I think we need it, based on what Mike was saying about having all those ors, because it's better than must and, I think.
I just don't know how the first sentence and the second sentence, if legally if they're conflicting with each other, how that gets interpreted. If influenced is considered to be relatively vague in terms of it's nice to be there and it has an impact on the business versus relying on or requiring, which is harder language, I don't know which one wins.
And what is, what is a business that's controlled by the short line?
No, that was their comments is they can't control the business.
Thing. Yeah. So why is that?
I think that's control and ownership, right? So if the short line itself owns the railroad, not they're controlling the other business.
Well,
it isn't clear, is it?
Yeah. It says you're dependent if you're controlled by the short line railroad.
No, I mean from ownership control of the railroad.
I don't think it says that.
It doesn't say that.
No.
It says controlled by.
Or so determined or influenced.
We need to wordsmith this. You want to take a shot?
Yes.
Maybe just influence.
How about?
When we looked at these, combining both dependent on and mixed use of, determined, influenced, or controlled, and employing the short line railroad. You can just...
Wait, where'd you put employing?
It's from the makes use of. But if you want to just say, and makes use of. So, determine, influence, or controlled, and makes use of the short line railroad.
Does that work, Mike?
I like that.
Yep. Merriam-Webster just says influence by. Maybe just that. Just thought, living on.
You mean influence by and leave all the other language out?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean... Yeah, just trying to think of control by the short line railroad. So the short line railroad is owned by X. They have another activity that is not necessarily rail associated, but they control it. Is it allowed under that use? Just trying to think through it. So
we can't be too squishy.
That's the way to look at it.
It's difficult to work through this when you kind of add all this different language and each one has an impact there. And so I just see two separate definitions here, and that's my only concern at this point. I like the softer language. I'm not sure if it fully gets us to the intent of dependent on, but I do think it's nice to have in there.
Earlier I had suggested getting rid of the first line. What if we get rid of the second line? Does that clean things up any?
I'd be more comfortable with that.
So it would read, determined, influenced, or controlled by the short line railroad.
Period.
Period.
What does controlled by the short line railroads mean?
What was your verbiage again?
Determined
or makes use of
makes
instead
use
of controlled by?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So
better.
Determined, influenced, or makes use. Well, it's kind of and makes and use of, isn't it?
Make use of is later, though. Like
I think we need it written down so everyone can see it, otherwise, it's not going to work.
I interrupted you, Dick. I apologize.
was the last one.
Sorry.
Crap.
Our work is not done.
Yeah. We just need that one definition.
What if you just strike out the "or controlled by the short line railroad"? Just says determined, influenced, relying on, or requiring the aid or support of the short line railroad. Take out controlled and put the two sentences together.
I like that better.
Not that long.
Determined, influenced, relying on.
So you just scratch out "or controlled by the short line railroad."
And relying is a small r, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, small r on
the line. I think that works.
On requiring, or requiring.
I generally like it. I would like whoever drafted it to have some conversation around why they included controlled by and what that means. So.
What, this language?
Yeah, the controlled by in terms of the practical.
It came out of the dictionary.
I think it was dictionary.
It was just pulled out. It was just
okay,
pulled.
So. Yeah.
Which one?
I like this.
Webster or American?
So get them in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yes, I like that. Generally speaking, I think that gives us enough ors that it's able to work with.
So, determined, influenced, or relying?
No, determined, comma, influenced, yeah, comma.
Relying on, comma, or requiring the aid or support of the
railroad.
Right.
So you just scratch out the "or controlled by the short line railroad" and then small r on relying.
Determined, influenced, relying mm-hmm. on.
Did you do that in the form of a motion?
Yes, I move that we amend it that way.
I accept that. I accept that as a friendly amendment. And I call the question.
Do we haven't seconded it yet. Second.
Yeah.
We have a second.
What are we saying?
Say,
determined, influenced, relying on.
Okay.
Good.
Relying.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand what the amendment is?
You bet. The amendment, as I understand it, is...
Just yeah.
Oh, you're asking if everyone understands it. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
It's not
wow.
a quiz.
It's not a quiz.
Restate the motion.
It's not a quiz.
So, okay, the motion as amended reads, dependent upon means, determined, influenced, comma, relying on, comma, or requiring the aid or support of the short line railroad. Is that correct, Daniel?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I second.
Sorry, I'm second.
After discussion.
Discussion?
Second, yes. What?
Discussion, right?
It's a
question.
Yeah,
discussion.
Call
so,
question.
I can't understand.
All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Yeah. And now I can. Yeah, so that was the amendment, and now my motion, including the amendment, we have to vote on that.
Call the question.
I called for the question prematurely, but now I'm calling again.
Okay. All those in, you know, same.
Favor of the motion as
pretty
amended.
Pretty much the
same. Yeah.
All those in favor of the motion as amended.
Aye.
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 All those opposed.
That was quicker than adjacent. We're moving.
Hey.
Let's check marks down.
I know. It's stars.
All right.
So we've got 20 minutes for our 8 o'clock deadline.
Anybody got any Pappy Van Winkle?
Do you want to continue with that? ending at 8? Do you want to keep going?
Maybe it's time for audience participation.
That's a great idea.
I think we're at a dead end here.
Well, I don't think we're at a dead end. We're doing great.
Quite a dead end.
Well, we got three more definitions.
Just whoa.
Oh, no.
So I need to ask a question. So the clause in the bill is dependent on and makes use of.
Okay.
Do you think the definition that you just adopted captures that?
Determined, influenced, relying on? Well, yeah, I think it does.
Or required.
Yeah, I think it does.
Are we missing something?
Well, makes use of is down further, but yeah.
Wow, that's a big paragraph. That's long. Why is it so long?
Because somebody had time and coffee.
So, The only thing I don't want to lose is that makes use of. Mandatory. You have to use the railroad. So I don't know if that captures.
How much is the minimum shipment cost on the railroad?
Well, both of those definitions are going to be in there, right?
Just trying to. It's up to you. And these are just to give you guidance for evaluating the uses as criteria, so that you're clear on how you're going to evaluate that, and you're all on the same page with the language that's how you define this.
You know, you sent out this proposed definition changes. I don't know.
That is from Amber.
Okay.
So I would propose that the determined, influenced, and relying on, it means making use of. I mean, don't you think so?
My thought on it is, if you need something about it, to say something about it, the proposed definition changes that I have is, and as I said, I don't know who wrote it, but the act of using the short line railroad, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I don't know what more you need to say about it that hasn't been said.
Well, so in the purpose, it makes use of and dependent on, so both of those have to apply for this to work, so we need to be thoughtful about what makes use of is as well.
Right. So let's hit that, perhaps.
You strike the purpose and makes use of.
So I think your suggestion was the act of using the railroad.
Right. You're making use of it. Yeah. That's making use of my car is driving my car. I don't know that we need to say a lot more about that. And I would propose that.
So what's your motion?
To have something, I mean, if you want to have something in there about makes use of as a definition, it's using the act of using the short line railroad.
I have to say, I really like Amber's definition on this one.
What is that?
It's pretty close to yours. It's just taken a little bit
more. Customer the rail.
Okay. The ability to access. Yes.
The ability to access.
The short line railroad.
Or an actual customer of.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't disagree. My question again is the period between the sentences an or an and, in the sense that there's two different.
Not a bad idea.
So do you have to be a customer and have the ability to access, or just the ability to access or be a customer?
Well, what if we were just to take all the punctuation and turn them into commas and ors?
Well, I think you have to say or.
I would support that.
I think you have to say or because at the time that this person is making an application, he hasn't built anything, and so he's not really a customer yet, but he's in the application of becoming a customer.
So,
yeah, again, I'm just trying not to get competing definitions in the same definition.
Well, so let me try this. I do move that makes use of be defined as the act of using the short line railroad, comma, or the ability to access the short line railroad, comma, or a customer of the short line railroad.
Second, for the purpose of discussion.
Well,
The ability to make use of the railroad doesn't make use of the railroad.
Yeah, I was going to say the ability to make use of the short line railroad doesn't. It
no,
isn't.
No, it's
it's not.
If you say or, you can. It stands alone.
Correct. So, but just to be real clear, the verbiage I just provided is basically copied off of Amber's. Is the ability to access the short line railroad.
That's only an
or. What's that? Should be an and.
No.
So, I like that, and I think the combination of dependent on and the previous definition we agreed on combined with that use of make use creates some kind of a semblance of what we're trying to get to in terms of the intent of the law.
Daniel's saying you're saying it should be the act of using the short line railroad, comma, and the ability to access the short line railroad, comma, or a customer? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, because if you if you say or, that means that you have the ability to access the Short Line Railroad. And that's not making use of, you just have the ability to access it. Right. And that could be used by itself.
Oh, I see where you're going. Yeah.
That's just
if you say or, it's
right.
It stands alone.
Correct. Yeah, I like his. I'll take that as a friendly amendment. So that the first comma is followed by an and, the second comma is followed by an or.
Correct. So could you read it aloud as you have?
Yeah. So the act of using the Short Line Railroad, comma, and the ability to access the Short Line Railroad, comma, or a customer of the Short Line Railroad. And so we change that first or to an and because we don't want just the fact that somebody could use it to allow the whole thing.
Okay. Isn't that customer kind of don't need that if they're using it, they're a customer? I mean, aren't they?
It may be superfluous.
If they're using it, and then
they're
a
customer.
So
how does it read without that? And a customer service.
Well, why do you need either of those at that
and
point?
And the ability to access a short line. Yeah, I don't think we need that last one.
Excuse me, please speak up and avoid the stuff.
Sorry, thank you. So what we're looking at right now, again, is the act of using the Short Line Railroad, comma, and the ability to access the Short Line Railroad, comma, or a customer of the Short Line Railroad. The quiet comments were really, why do we need either of those ands or ors? It's all saying the same thing. Maybe we should just be the act of using the Short Line Railroad.
That makes it pretty simple and straightforward.
Keep it simple.
It's pretty simple, right?
They're depending on it.
Again,
I agree with that.
The person making the application will probably not be using the railroad at the time of the application. So, but he would have access.
So thoughts on that?
Why would
so
we
I think the first two sentences are not.
If he's not going to use the railroad, well, why would he?
It's a piece of farmland, but it's got the rail next to it. So he has access to the railroad, but he hasn't built anything yet, so he isn't using the railroad. He will after he gets all his good permits.
You know, nobody who applies for anything, whether you apply for a residential permit or for a permit to build an industrial facility, is using it before they build it. They are applying to build something that will be used in a particular manner. So I understand your question, but I think it's kind of an angel's dancing on the head of a pin question that doesn't need to be worried about. As you know, site plan review and conditional use permits can say before you get an occupancy permit, for example, you have to have in place an agreement or that's just an example. That's not the only way to do it. But I seriously wouldn't worry about that.
Okay. Then I won't.
Well, I'll listen to our legal comment.
There's an idea.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
We have a great
one. The motion on the table is the comma and comma or. And I'm not sure where I stand on that at this point. I don't know that much. Like, we could adjust that. I'm open to all of the above personally. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference one way or the other.
Did you get a second?
Did I get a second? Yeah, somebody seconded. Yeah, Mike seconded me.
Okay.
So you were just doing the first two sentences?
I'll re-second as it has been friendly amended.
So what is it currently amended to now?
So again, it's the and, comma, or.
It's the act. Go ahead.
So the act of using the short line railroad, comma, and the ability to access the short line railroad, comma, or a customer of the short line railroad.
Your deletes everything behind it.
Correct.
Is that a motion?
That is the motion.
Motion and a second.
I second. Yeah.
Motion and seconded.
Technically.
I think we already did that.
Yeah. So, further discussion or call for a question?
Let's call for a question.
Is that the is that an amendment or is that the...
No, that is the motion on the table.
That's the big one.
And now I'm going to bug everybody and amend it to drop that last sentence because I think it's superfluous.
Yeah.
So it would say, the act of using the short line railroad...
And the ability to access
the short line railroad, period.
Okay.
I would second that.
I'd second that motion. Go ahead.
Question on the amendment. If you're using the railroad, you have access to the railroad, so that's it.
That's where I was kind of going. Yes, maybe it's just that first line and call it good.
I'm fine with that. I can withdraw that. That's fine.
Well, so the new amendment is just one line, the act of using the short line railroad.
That sounds
fine.
That's
perfect. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect to me.
So, woof, done. Tell you what we're going to do. If you would be so kind as to remove your second.
I'll rescind my second.
I rescind my motion, so there's nothing on the table. New motion makes use of is defined as the act of using the short line railroad.
Bingo.
Second.
Well,
everybody. Discussion. Yeah, we're done. Call
question.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All
those opposed? You can tell it's getting away.
That was perfect.
Mr. Chair, I would like to propose a bathroom break followed by comments for 10 minutes.
I've already taken it. It's too late.
You took a break.
But you're still out.
All right. I'm leaving.
This makes use of
Three meetings.
What?
Three meetings when you get this done.
Yeah.
Well, you're asking about the dancing on the head.
Well, yeah. Once you get all this stuff done, we'll be able to go through that list pretty quick.
There used to be a big public debate on how many angels
would
fit on the
head. I didn't want any of the
big
stuff.
Big debate.
Yeah.
Move to adjourn. No.
So, My understanding is we'll have public comment. Is that correct?
Actually, before we get to public comment, if I can throw a couple of things in. A few of us were just talking, and I, for one, feel that we would be a lot smoother if we voted in a chair of this meeting. How does the group feel about that?
I nominate you.
Second.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Be careful what you say. I could do it.
Well, what would we do with him?
He continues on as staff and provides
resource
input.
And stops sweating. No, I'm just kidding.
Are we allowed to have subcommittees?
God help us. Not tonight.
That's a good question for legal.
Yeah, because you know, some of these things, you know, you just can't sit around a table and talk about. You got to, it would not be a full room of people.
So I think in speaking to seconding the motion, I think it's nice just from John's experience as a commissioner and the ability to kind of keep to the agenda and what some of the Robert's Rules requirements are. I think it's in terms of just focus, and I think to the extent that we can build an agenda that allows us to be successful while staying within those parameters would probably be the best approach. And if that necessitates a subcommittee at some point, perhaps we can explore that. But I think that's the intent, is just to, from just a rules of order standpoint, keep us on track.
Needs a vote?
Question.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Abstain. Just because.
Effective immediately. Get over there.
You're behind schedule.
Oh, you can do it from.
Point of order from a legal standpoint. I don't know if Chris can answer this. From an advisory committee standpoint, there's no issue with us selecting a chair without any kind of broader public notice or anything. If that's what.
I don't think that that's addressed anywhere in the council's charge to you. And I don't know that it's addressed in your bylaws. I don't think that that's necessarily an appropriate matter for public comment.
So not addressed. It's considered okay.
I'm not sure that a subcommittee would be appropriate, for example.
Right. Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Now, as chair, I would like to invite Chris to the table if there's no objections, just because legal counsel, when we're going through legal definitions, might be wise.
Do you need a motion?
Nope.
Okay.
All right, with that, unless there's other business at the moment, I'd like to open it up for public comment. No other business. Public comments. Please state your name and be aware that I'm going to hold you to the 3-minute limit.
They should come up and sit here that
would probably be a good plan. Maybe if you... Well, all right. We're at public comment at this point anyway.
Here, let me get out of your way.
Carol Levinen for Clark County Citizens United. Carol Levinen for Clark County Citizens United. We've been researching this law and this bill as it pertains to the Growth Management Act and what its purpose really truly seems to be. And it basically is saying they want to ensure the availability of the rail capacity for additional industrial and commercial use. So it's not that this all has to be dependent upon the rail, but rather the rail has to be available to it. So because a lot of the land in Clark County is zoned agriculture, and they can't seem to get it out of the ag zoning it's going to court all the time. So what this does is says that the lands adjacent to the railroad are, whether or not they're agricultural or resource zoned or not, are going to be able to utilize this availability of the rail line. So that opens up a lot of property along the rail line that is zoned agriculture that could not be converted to an industrial use without some other mechanism. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it says here, legislature recognized that enacted the rail preservation program because railroads provide benefits to state and local jurisdictions that are valuable to economic development, highway safety, and environment. The Washington State Freight Mobility Plan includes the goal of supporting rural economies, farm-to-market, manufacturing, and resource industry sections. The plan makes clear that ensuring the availability of rail capacity is vital to meeting the future needs of the Puget Sound region. So rail-served industrial sites are a necessary part of thriving freight mobility system and are a key means of assuring that food and goods from rural areas are able to make it to people living in urban areas and international markets. Planned and effective access to rail services is a pivotal aspect of transportation planning. Legislature affirms that it is in the public interest to allow economic development infrastructure to occur near rail lines as a means to alleviate strains on government infrastructure elsewhere. Therefore, the legislature finds that there is a need for counties and cities to improve their planning under the Growth Management Act to provide much needed infrastructure for freight rail dependent uses adjacent to the rail lines. So it isn't a mandate you have to use the rail line to do this. It is saying you have the ability to utilize this land now that we've opened up this freight rail for you. Thank you.
Well, very well. Thank you. Anybody else? Mm-hmm.
Hello, folks, and thank you for your work.
Name, please.
Susan Rasmussen. I'm with Clark County Citizens United, and my family has been here in Clark County multiple generations. We were farming, and we were dairy farmers very actively for two generations, three generations if my son had their way. I would suggest that you all read this bill backwards and forwards and sideways so that you really know and study the intent of our elected officials, the lawmakers, that crafted ESB 5517. It's very critical to your work and can alleviate a lot of stress that I see going on here tonight. This is not irrelevant, and the intent is not irrelevant at all. It's crucial to the work that went behind this. Much of that intent was taken into consideration by the lawyers in the congressional delegation, and they have gone through this, and it's passed muster with them. So please use it and fall back on it. It's your biggest tool in your toolbox. I suggest you reach out and call the elected officials right here locally and question, listen to them, and use them for guidance. I ask you to stay true to the intent of the bill for jobs, for economic development, not only for the rural area, but regionally. That interpretation is not as open to, or let me say, the intent of the bill is not as open to interpretation as one would think. You go back, and I have a copy of Senator Wilson's letter to the Clark County Planning Commission. I applaud the county and the Planning Commission for acknowledging the intent of the legislation to allow economic development near rail lines and expediting comp plan and overlay map changes in this docket cycle to become effective January 1st, 2018. Thank you for your work this evening. And carry on, please.
Anybody else? Start with this gentleman.
Howard Raymond, one of the property owners within the orange hatched area below the famous blue square. I just want to support the idea that came up tonight that the committee move ahead with a recommendation to provide a minimum acreage site in the future. I know it was touched on but not completed, but I think there are, as I mentioned previously, over 20 homeowners within that Hatchton area who are very concerned about development right contiguous or adjacent to their property. And if there was some minimum acreage indicated, I think that would allay a lot of the fears and a lot of the opposition that you hear. Yeah. So I'd support you in taking that up again.
Thank you.
Jerry Winters, I'm kind of tied into Lagler, that little thing that looks like a framing square down there. Half of that's mine, that's two 20-acre pieces. And I believe a church bought the other 20 acres a couple of years ago. And then the neighbors in front of mine, they got light industrial on the last, when the comp plan came into effect. And that takes up four families, I think. One 10-acre and a couple of fives. Well, I wrote it on my comment card, and probably the only thing I'm going to say that's going to have any meaning to your meeting is I seen how easy it was to go from 500 feet to a quarter mile. So that increased it almost by 1,320 feet that used to be 500. Just the term kind of changed from quarter mile from feet, and they had 500 feet before. Why not just say, let's go a mile and be done with it, instead of saying, well, maybe next year we'll go a half, and then in 2 years we'll go a mile, and we'll just be like rubber and stretch on out till you get where you wanted to start, and just take it in all right now. And if you don't use it all, it's there for the future without going back to the comp plan every time. That's all.
Thank you very much. Anybody else?
So, Amber Carter, I agree with the previous speakers and their comments. The bill does have purpose, it does have meaning, and the language that was adopted was very deliberately selected with the words. The term adjacent, for example, was deliberately chosen.
Amber, up a little bit.
Sure. The word adjacent was deliberately chosen. We debated touching, we debated abutting, we debated all of those other options, but the legislature chose the word adjacent because they wanted to give the flexibility to the county to gather lands that are near the railroad, not necessarily touching the railroad. And so I know that you've already adopted your definition of adjacent, but the term abut it really is contrary to the legislation. The word abut is not anywhere in the legislation. The word adjacent is. The term for adjacent is near, not touching or abutting. And so that really does need to get revisited, if not today and in the future. And I would really encourage your consideration of that. I appreciate you hearing our comments before moving forward with the additional items, because the next issue is the definition of freight rail dependent use. And the staff definition misses a very critical phrase that is in the legislation, which is such facilities are both urban and rural. That is critical to include in the definition of freight rail dependent use, and we ask for your support of that provision, because it is identical to what is in the legislation. And without it, you're not accurately reflecting the legislation. Finally, the use table, I know is a big bite for this committee to take on, but the work has already been done. So please, please consider the use of the Rural Industrial Land Bank use table and the rail overlay use table, because the work has been done and it can make your job much easier if you simply adopt previously approved work. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. Anybody else? Seeing none, thank you all for your comments. What is the mood of the committee? Do we want to extend by another half hour and hit another definition, or do we want to call it good for the night?
I'm okay to extend it. I feel like we can keep some momentum.
All right, looks like we're moving. Okay. Let us...
A new definition of momentum.
Continuing on. I think we're probably best off if we just continue straight down the line and go back to fabrication and hopefully hit that one quickly, and then we'll get to the uses. So currently we have to make or create, to construct by combining or assembling diverse, typically standardized parts.
Move to approve as presented.
What?
It's been moved to approve as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dick. Discussion.
Just a comment that the items that you've already identified were intended to be used so you can evaluate the criteria. It wasn't intended for you to define all of these.
Oh, okay.
So I think you've addressed the large items being adjacent, dependent on, and makes use of. If you're okay with that, you have enough of a definition to move on to the criteria in that column to evaluate the potential uses, I would suggest you go in that direction.
I would like to address the freight rail dependent uses comment that was made and get an understanding of why that was removed from the definition of the...
So we do have a motion on the table and it's been seconded. Do we have any further comments on the definition of fabrication?
I have a correction. The second was Kent.
Oh, second's been rescinded.
It was Kent.
Smith identified.
Oh, it was Kent. I'm sorry, I heard canceled. Okay, it was Kent, not Dick. All right.
Okay, got it.
Thank
for
you.
For the record.
All right. Further discussion on the definition. All right, seeing none, all in favor of the definition as presented?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carries. All right, so I'll go ahead and hit freight rail dependent uses. Does anybody want to start that one?
So I would move that we add back in such facilities are both urban and rural development for the purposes of discussion.
I second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. Discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. Is it necessary? What is the benefit of having buildings and other infrastructure that is used in the fabrication?
It's the definition from the bill.
Okay.
And the other part that Mike added is part of it, too.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
So essentially, in support of my motion, I'm just looking for a staff interpretation of why that was removed or why it's not necessary.
I think the rationale is that when you're looking at the use list, whether it's urban or rural, I don't think it adds any value in your evaluation of what the use is.
But it would be harmless to leave it in.
Yeah. And again, the definitions were just there for discussion. Our thinking is that it's not going to, I mean, a school isn't urban and rural use. I don't know that adds anything
to
the context.
It has to do with facilities, not the use. Yeah.
I think it's important.
It's important because it's in the bill. Yeah.
It's the most important sentence in the law.
So we've got several people in favor of it. I'm not hearing any opposed to that.
If you think it's going to help you in your determination
motion,
for the
exactly. All right.
Yes. Sorry, last comment on that. I think I'm not sure that actually affect whether or not urban or rural services could do, but I also think it adds some clarity into the intent of what we're typically talking about here when we're talking about rural uses.
Yep.
Okay.
Call for the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Carries. All right, is there any other definition that we want to attack before we move on to better stuff?
Better stuff.
Very good. So that, per staff's recommendation, brings us over to what are the uses?
That's a big one.
It is a big one.
May I suggest that we don't need to to adopt it wholesale, but the idea of working off of the existing railroad, industrial railroad use list might be a good starting point.
Absolutely.
What section are you in?
And I know that's in our list. Oh, it's the next one in your in the packets that were handed out tonight.
Now the number that was shown on the screen earlier is different than the number that I've got in my packet.
This is the existing industrial. Industrial use list. This is our section of code.
Okay.
And so what I showed you earlier was another table that we're proposing to put in the overlay as an overlay district to reflect that it's a freight rail dependent overlay district and not in the industrial. So I think it's fine to use this and whatever you come up with. If this is how you want to proceed with that, you can just create a standalone list for those freight rail dependent uses that mirrors this and put that in the overlay section of the code. That was the intent from our perspective.
Okay. Did everybody understand that?
No, I don't understand why we have to have a separate overlay list.
It's going to be one overlay list, but it's just going to live in the overlay section of the code, and it's not going to be lumped in with the industrial section of the code.
Oh, okay, now I understand. Thank you.
So you're not going to just add another call?
Well, you're going to go ahead and do that, but it's just going to be one standalone, and it's going to be freight rail dependent use.
But why? Why is it one standalone? Why isn't it part of this code? That's what I'm thinking.
Because this section of code deals with a lot of other things that are specific to the industrial and these code districts. This is an overlay, and it's just going to complicate things. You have development standards, performance standards that are specific to the rural industrial land bank. I think it'll just be cleaner to have its own section of code.
So what you're saying is we could effectively reference the list,
and I think
or copy it wholesale, however staff feels best. It's just best to address it separately because we don't want to get mixed in with the other issues that industrial rail, whatever it's called.
I'm still not sure I understand what that means. Why isn't it part of? Because once it becomes under the jurisdiction of the freight rail dependent uses, it's part of the industrial codes, is it not?
But it's different still section.
The uses will be allowed, but it's still an overlay, and there's still an underlying zone, be it ag or rural or whatever's under that. And there's going to be a code section for that. It's just recognizing that this goes on top of something else.
I think it's good because, honestly, Dan, you know, like you just said, some of the land is resource land, some is rural land.
Right.
Some is rural industrial land bank land that's under appeal that might go back to being resource land. By creating an overlay, it's sort of, no matter what this land is, it's covered. It's probably a good idea, honestly. Because you can take the exact use table from rural industrial, the design or the development regulations, the setbacks and everything from railroad industrial, and just cut and paste them.
Yeah.
You have that ability, but it's in its own section.
And also, besides being wouldn't require it to be a separate reference. It would all be integral to the one document.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides that, Jose seems gets like paid by the word, so we're hoping to move on.
But I think, we want to do some modification even on the railroad industrial broadway.
So if he got paid by the word, I think he would have used the 57-page one that we started with when we initially did this list.
Probably should have got that. All right, so going with that, actually, I missed that we actually have a proposed ILRLB overlay list in here, which looks like it fairly closely mirrors the railroad industrial, except taking out the oil.
Oil and gas.
Are there any other major changes in this list?
Let me see. I haven't looked it through.
My big question is around the hazardous chemicals piece. And
That's not a railroad overlay, is it? Isn't that the rural industrial land bank?
Yes.
That's not a railroad
IR overlay. IR is your
industrial. IR is your railroad. IR.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So we have this laid out.
Oh, there you go.
The column with the
FRDU. I should look up. So IR is what I started off
railroad
saying.
Industrial.
We should probably just follow that. I looked at the overlay and just saw overlay and didn't read further, so that was my mistake.
I'm wondering if it's most efficient then, just with this use list, the way it's set up, to go through and BX or C each of these types of things. Probably most of that's going to happen at the next meeting, but I think initial concerns around the structure would probably be good to set up at this point, and then really hammer it out in the next meeting and really focus in on those. Yes or no's.
Did you send me one of those with the extra column?
So, maybe something for you to consider, but we condensed this list, and that's what's in your spreadsheet, and it captures all of those categories, and I just wanted to...
That's the fold-out that you're talking about?
Yes. So, the charge from the board was to consider the bulk commodities that are the first six items listed. And in looking at the NICS code, it looks like those uses fit within the agriculture construction, manufacturing, transportation, and warehousing. So the just so that we can meet the requirements, it seems like those items can fit under that category. So what I would suggest is that be just want to see if you concur with that, that these items that are listed as commodities that essentially make up 90% of freight fit within those four or five categories within the NISCS, and then we can look at those individually, but on a broader scale, those would be things that you're allowing. Those would be the list of uses that would be captured within the NAICS, and so maybe you could focus on those other items that aren't, to see if those are things that are included with our definitions of what freight is.
So looking at this list,
yes.
You're saying that the first half or the top ones you're suggesting already fits, and the bottom ones we should discuss whether they should.
So let me go to the adjusted matrix. So our thinking is that these NICS codes capture all of these.
That's list, okay.
And so the remaining items in the NICS, if you can scroll.
Don't fit.
Well, it's not as clear as those items that pretty clearly fit. The mining utilities are allowed in all zones per that code section. So I don't know, since you already have the underlying zone, I don't know that you need to include that. The mining is regulated by the surface mining overlay. And that's, again, if they're
not necessary.
So if you wanted to focus on the wholesale trade and on down to see if those are categories or items that are meet the definition of what retail dependent use is, that might be the way to begin that. I'm sorry, I didn't have that copy for you.
Okay, did everybody follow that?
a little bit.
Yes, except for what happened to the first part about bulk commodities.
So scroll back up.
So food and farm products, I think, fit under agriculture.
Okay, so you're taking from there and eliminating the ones that don't fit. Is that what you did?
Right. So okay. we think this is 90% of freight, and I think they're captured in these. And if you look through your list, you can see that how we treat those currently.
So if ultimately stated, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you look at this fold-out list, Jose is saying that agriculture under the NAICS section, we're suggesting that the agriculture, construction, manufacturing, and transportation cover the bulk of the bulk commodities. And the question that we're being presented with is that enough? Is there anything else on the NAICS list that we think should be added to that? And I think that's actually a fairly good way to start. Is it? In other words, we're going really broad, and once we've selected the major categories, then we can dive deeper.
I'm confused. Why wouldn't we just take the list as we've got already existing in our codes and go down through that list individually and just select them? I mean, we're going through an extra step that we don't need to go through.
Well, the only reason is that the charge of the board was to look at the bulk commodities list and filter it. And so the first cut was, okay, it seems like these fit in these four or five categories. So let's say you've addressed that, if you concur with that. And then if that makes up 90% of the bulk commodities, now you have to make a finding that freight rail dependent uses are in those other categories. Does that make sense?
No.
So
not to me.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I think we're
developing regulations.
Yeah, that other 10% could be thousands of carloads.
Yeah.
So if we go down, can you scroll down?
And over.
Yeah.
No, it's part of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a.
So are educational services freight rail dependent?
No.
I don't think you can do anything about the screen. That's your projector going off screen.
She did it.
Oh.
She's a genius.
Sure, that's there's a railroad school just down the road in the business park. Yeah. They teach engineers, locomotive engineers, conductors, switchmen, brakemen, educational services. You can't limit. I literally had a group approach me about data storage, data moving. They wanted to put a boxcar full of servers from New York City and bring it to Moses Lake, because the transmission of that volume of data, which was not time-sensitive data, was so great. They were talking about putting a refrigerated boxcar, filling it with storage, computer storage, and shipping it across the country because it would be less expensive. Hmm. I don't think you need to limit anything on here except for they have to make use of the rail, which is the charge the council gave us.
And the part about toxic and hazardous things.
Yeah. Well,
I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Commerce says we can't limit that.
Well, no, there's two things I'm going to say. First, yes, it is part of the interstate commerce system, and so if anyone legally orders me to ship something, I have to do it. It's just the way it is. And secondly, I took the council's charges to consider the effect of hazardous materials, to take into account the safety of the area. That's how I took it. I mean, all the same. I mean, I drive up and down 503 all the time. There's tanker trucks full of propane and tanker trucks full of gasoline and all those things. You know, would you rather have this going 50 miles an hour at night through a rainstorm with other?
If I can interrupt
it's not.
You,
it's not what I would rather. It's
we're
what
going off topic.
We're charged to do.
So it's now 8:36. Well, I'll withhold my comment until I hear the new comment.
Yeah, I think we need this.
So,
if you want to get a use list, I think that what Steph is suggesting is that you start out by looking at categories and see if there are any, pardon the pun, that you would categorically not consider appropriate, like, you know, arts, entertainment, and recreation. And that would be a way to cut that down. An alternate way to do it would be to look at the list that you already have that I know is somewhere in here, even though I can't find it now. I know I have
it. Close. Next page.
It's the next page. Page right there, right there.
Good. There it is. And look at them one by one. You can do it either way. And I think that would address some of Mr. Temple's comments about, well, they wanted me to store data server, you know, store servers or whatever, because storage is something that's allowed. So you could look through here and see more particularly where the activities, whether they meet the definition or not, you know, manufacture, what is it, fabricate,
process,
store, or transport. So that's a different way to do it. And then with regard to hazardous items and crude oil and so forth, if the council wants to allow hazardous items, that's up to them. The bill itself prohibits that and excludes them from the definition.
Crude oil.
And Mr. Temple's train could carry crude oil up and down those tracks as much as anybody likes. But that doesn't mean that Clark County has to or necessarily can allow a development that deals with crude oil on land next to the railroad. That's the distinction. We can't prevent the train from carrying it. The question is, what happens when it goes off the train and gets onto the property? So
I completely agree with that assessment, but for clarification, my understanding on the bill is it specifically prohibits crude oil, but my I don't remember having the specific conversation at the state level around the hazardous materials. And so
no, that was
just clarification that's a county addition, that, not the 5517.
That part was the board's charge, and as I'm sure those of you who are familiar with land use know, it is within the
correct
authority of a county to be more stringent than state law allows. Always. It is not within the authority of the county to be more open. So if the board doesn't want to allow a development that would be hazardous, it can do so. But under this law, you know, it has the choice. It can make that decision one way or the other.
I appreciate that clarification.
To clarify for me, so we cannot say what can be transported, but what is offloaded on our property? Is that what you're saying?
What the use, what the property.
Right. So he can move whatever he wants to move that's legal,
right.
but we don't have to allow unloading of and storage of oil and hazardous things.
I would say that you cannot allow,
yes,
with respect to crude oil,
right,
as a freight rail dependent use.
Okay, I understand.
Because that's what the bill says.
So in the spirit of wrapping up, I think if we could have for homework, let this group take a look at the, I appreciate the condensed options, and if anybody, kind of as an opt-in, if anybody thinks that we should consider them, then those can be opened up for consideration, and we decide that early in the next meeting. So if we all agree on a certain, you know, real estate offices or something, we can X that out right away. But if anyone wants to consider it, then we would go through by item for each of those in the next meeting.
I would like to make another suggestion, and that is that the staff go through and put in those, take the entire list, put in those that are included in those bulk commodities with a check mark already on them, and give us the entire list to go through. I've been through this before on the railroad overlay, and it goes very quickly.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'd even like a homework assignment where everybody mails theirs in about, you know, a few days before, and you guys can go through and tell us what everybody agrees on, and we only have a small list to discuss.
Are you amenable?
Sure.
Well, let's plan on that. Does everybody understand that idea?
No, say it again.
So basically, go through the IR list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the railroad industrial list.
That's that one.
Send your notes to Jose as to whether anything in particular should be in or out. Mm-hmm. Staff will then provide us a list that shows where we have disagreement.
Okay.
Could we ask first that you mark
on there all the ones that are in those bulk categories, so we don't have to look at those.
Okay. Yeah. So send us something first to work on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how about I'll send you a Word version of this with the commodities checked off, and then you guys can fill that out,
color coded or something,
and send it back to me, and compile what your preferences are, and then
you can make your plan.
Great.
Sounds great.
Hey guys, before we get too loud, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good.
Out of here.
Getting kind of invested in the series.
Yeah.